So I do want to thank you all for coming today. It's great to be among family and friends of Robert Giannotti. I first met Robert because he sat on the search committee as they were calling me here to be the pastor in Castro Valley. I was pastoring in Cincinnati, Ohio before that. I'm native to California, but Southern California. Believe it or not, it's really not all that different. It's very diverse, north and south, lots of transient, and lots of great people in both places. And so it seems like a good fit, and we've enjoyed it ever since. Of course, over time, as I got to know the members of the search committee, they knew me as Pastor Next. No one knew my name because they didn't want it to get out. I was actually happy pastoring a church in Cincinnati, and I didn't want it to necessarily get out because I wasn't really sure. I was kind of like, yeah, like I'll, you know, I was so torn between the two. And so that's what they knew me as, and Travis reminded me of that as I was walking in the door, Pastor Next. And then I got to know the members, and I got to meet Robert, and then Shelley, and of course, over time, Gino, too, and his lovely family, Shannon. And it's been a great time. He always had this welcoming smile, this warm hand to shake or a hug to give. We went over and had dinner on several occasions, and it just was so obvious that Robert loved everyone, and everyone loved Robert. I never heard anyone say an unkind thing, no complaints. I'm sure there were complaints, but because Robert had this way, it's like you would get kind of mad at him, but you couldn't be really mad at him because he was Robert. And everything just kind of melted away. And he was so easy to love. And, of course, if you spend any time with Robert, you knew that Robert loved the Lord. He loved his family so very much. And, of course, he loved candy. And so as I was fashioning this message today, I wanted to pay attention to the things that Robert loved. And so I kind of had to figure out, well, what am I going to do? And I figured that sharing candy recipes was probably out of the question. I will say, one of the times we went to Robert's house, I didn't know Robert was diabetic. And so I like to bake, and I made a 3-berry cobbler. And I brought it. And I have to say, I like sugar a lot. And so it wasn't short on calories. And I walked in and I sat it down. And sometime during that evening, I became aware that Robert is diabetic. And I'm like, should you be eating that? Like, I really thought I'm like going to kill this man with what I brought. And he goes, oh, it's okay. I'll just take more insulin. I'm sure many of you have heard him say that. That's not necessarily a good thing, Robert. And certainly we had some serious discussions after that. But still, Robert loved his sweets. But we've already heard from some of Robert's family. They're here today, every one of his family that I have met. I have grown to love dearly. I've loved some of them from afar because although I've never met them, he talked about them in such a way you just couldn't help but love them. And so today, I can't focus on candy. We've already focused some on the family, and we'll focus more on the family as well at the reception. And so I will focus on the Lord. What a surprise. I'm a pastor. and that's what we do. And so I'll be teaching on a selection of Robert's favorite verses. Robert's desire was that when he left this world, that he would spend eternity with his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ. One of his favorite verses, Psalm 27, 4, "One thing that I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Robert doesn't want to just spend time with the Lord in eternity. He wanted to spend time with him while he was on the earth. He certainly did that. But he wants to spend his time in eternity with the Lord and with the people that he loved as well. And if you're here today, I have no doubt that you are one of those people. He wanted to spend eternity with his family and with his friends. It's his heart. And so in Matthew 19, the section I'm going to focus on, we find the story of a rich young ruler. And he wanted to know how he could spend eternity in heaven. And he said, "And behold, a man came up to Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you're perfect,'" which, how many people do you know who are perfect, right? So Jesus said, "But if you happen to be the one who is perfect, go and sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Jesus makes it clear to the young man that knowing Christ isn't about doing or being good. The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. Rather, it's about loving and following Jesus. And yes, that means that Jesus must be first and foremost in our lives. And certainly that was with Robert. In our world, there are many things that fight for our attention. Of course, now it's social media. When I was young, social media didn't exist, but it was social media certainly now. Some people, it's their work and their job that they are so focused on. That comes first. For others, it's their family. For some, it's addiction, whether it's porn or alcohol or whatever they may fall into. Any number of things, good, bad, or otherwise, can fill that first spot in our lives. And even if it's worthy, the Bible tells us, I mean, I'm married to a wonderful woman, and yet she comes second in my life, next to God. God must come first. And so this is what Jesus is telling the rich young ruler. He's not literally saying to every person, for you to enter into heaven, you have to sell or give away everything you own. Rather, what he's saying is, if there's anything that takes preeminence over the Lord, that you have to get rid of. You have to make it at least second, although some things probably should be further down. So while being famous or wealthy doesn't go against Scripture, if they or anything else takes the place of following Jesus, then salvation, it just isn't possible. the rich young ruler, he was very wealthy. He had many great possessions. And he just walked away. He said, I just can't do it. It's a choice I can't make. I cannot give it up. So if there's anything that is more important than Jesus, then that is your God. When we read the scriptures, however, we know that Jesus isn't calling us necessarily to be poor or homeless or live a life of drudgery or chaos or destitution. In fact, quite the opposite. Another one of Robert's favorite verses was in Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord knows that life is difficult. My mother used to ask me, all the time, she'd say, I just don't know why life is so hard. And it's true. If you've lived and you've been around very long, it doesn't take long to figure out that life sometimes is very hard. We get sick, we lose our jobs, or worse, and often we lose loved ones or loved ones, people we care about get sick. And as long as you don't have a group of friends that you play golf with laughing at you as you lay on the ground writhing in pain, the world has a way of weighing us down. And by the way, I think I know all of the men in that group, and you couldn't ask for a better group of friends, I know for certain. But the world has that way of just bearing down on us and making life heavy. And Jesus promises that he will give us rest, that he makes the burden bearable. He doesn't necessarily take it away, but he gives us the strength to stand up under it. And we learn from those things. And it's in the midst of those trials that we come to know the Lord better. It's in the midst of those trials that our relationships with our friends become stronger. And he gives us the strength to make it through. As it says in Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Another one of Robert's favorite verses and mine is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And anxiety, now they talk about it pretty frequently because, of course, during COVID, anxiety was on the rise. And even now, many people who weren't familiar with anxiety are struggling with this feeling and this emotion they never had before. But actually, before I came to CV First, I let the search committee know anxiety is part of who I am. I wear it better than almost anyone I know. I love anxiety, not really, but it's part of who I am. And they were supportive. They said, we understand. And I'm vocal about anxiety because too many people think it's a secret to be hidden, and it's not. This verse in Philippians is one I stand on because God promises. He says, don't be anxious about anything. I'm like, that's easy for you to say. You're God. If I were God, I wouldn't be anxious about a thing. But he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. He says, if you're anxious, cry out to me. It's a verse that many who know the Lord cling to. There are so many things that cause anxiety and concern. And God wants us to know that he loves us and that he cares for us. And he cares about those things that we worry about and that we stress about. He says, before you even pray, I already know. I'm already taking care of the situation. And those of you that have anxiety are like, yeah, but are you, like, could I just double check and make sure, God, that you are doing it right? He's doing it right. I don't know what tomorrow brings. And that's what I worry about tomorrow, is tomorrow. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. And I'm like, yeah, but does it? Right, because we just pile it on. God knows what tomorrow brings. I don't. He has our tomorrows figured out. The Bible tells us he's got the day that he will call us home already recorded before the foundations of the earth are laid. He knows how much time I will spend on this rock flying through space. And the most important thing is, when we consider this anxiety and casting our cares on him, is that he loves us. He cares about us. He cares about the pain that we're feeling. He cares about the fears that we have. He cares about the stress that we feel. He loves us so desperately that he sent his son to die for our sins, that we might spend eternity with him. The piece that's often forgotten is just how much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him. It seems sometimes that churches can actually make things a little bit harder. One of the things that I loved about Robert was that he was who he was. If you met him at church, if you met him, I'm sure, on the golf course, some of us are a little too put together for the golf course. Not really. Some of us just can't play golf. But at least we're honest and willing to admit it. And but if you met him on the golf course, or you met him here, or you met him working, or you met him just on the street somewhere, Robert Giannotti was Robert Giannotti. When I would go to his home for dinner, when I saw him at church, wherever he was who he was. He loved the Lord. God was part of his everyday life. And that is the picture that we see of David in Psalms 25:4. It says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And that was just Robert. He just loved the Lord. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And it was funny because it wasn't uncommon to see him just drop everything for the next thing that happened. Right? No one ever wore ADHD better than Robert Giannotti, because there went a squirrel and Robert is now chasing the squirrel, and he did it well, and he did it always out of love. But all through the Bible, we see people communicating with God in their everyday lives. They're not locking themselves in closet and spending time making it prayer a difficult thing. They're walking, they're living their lives, and as they're living their lives, they're living out their relationship with the Lord. And that's what we saw with Robert. Everyone he met, he invited to church. Every week I would see him, he would either tell me about people he had invited that week to church, or he would introduce me to people that he brought with him to church. And yes, church is important. In fact, of his people, God commands that we be in church. If you knew Robert and you're not actively part of a church, I'm sure that he invited you. Salvation, however, isn't about church. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about knowing Jesus. But how do we do it? Salvation isn't about doing good works. like the rich young ruler found out, it's not about keeping every aspect of the law or selling everything you have and giving it to the poor. Instead, this is what is required of salvation. First, we must recognize that we're sinners. All of us are flawed. We all blow it. We all make mistakes. It's not something to look at and say, oh, I'm the least of all, because the person sitting next to you is also flawed. We just need to be willing to say it. Lord, I blow it. Second, it's this sin that separates us from God. Because God said, I have this standard. And if you meet the standard, great, but you don't, right? The rich young ruler said, hey, I keep the law. Jesus said, well, if you're perfect, then all you have to do is sell everything you have. And the rich young ruler said, time out. And Jesus pointed out right there, see, you're not quite as perfect as you think. Number three, God loved us so much that he provided a way for us to spend eternity with him. And four, we then cry out to God. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's what the Bible says is required for salvation. Robert wants to spend eternity with each person in this room, and undoubtedly countless thousands other people that he has met. He is already there. You can picture Robert no longer having diabetes. I don't know about his compactness, Dr. Ott, but he does now have a perfect golf swing. And what I've learned of Robert spending time with him is that he was extraordinary. Each of us held a special place in his heart. Very few people had a heart as big as he did, and it showed. So in your time, when you have time alone, take the time to think through the message. I know it's not the normal celebration of life or memorial service message that you hear, but it's one that Robert would want me to teach because he loved you. And he loved you enough to say, I want to spend eternity with you. So maybe you're here today and you've never heard the message. Or maybe you're here today and you've heard it. I heard it all my life, or I've heard it from time to time, but you've never responded. Here's your opportunity. Today, maybe on your way home, maybe in the car, maybe while you're eating lunch, take time to pray, to just tell God, Lord, I know I blow it. I blow it all the time. Thank you for providing Robert as my friend who told me about you. Invite Jesus to be part of your life. Robert is a good friend. And for that, we can thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord for providing his son, that we would have the hope of spending eternity, both in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of Robert with him. Truly, he is a good man. And I look forward to spending many, many years with him. In fact, after 10,000 years, there's no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we all love Robert. That's why we're here today, is to worship you and celebrate Robert's coming to you. Father, we thank you for the hope, and we thank you for taking care of him, providing a way that he will spend eternity with you, and providing a way that we will spend eternity together as a family. You're such an amazing and awesome God. Thank you for who you are, and thank you for taking care of Robert. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.